2 days worth of training for both the unified and the cloud-only configuration into this one-day jumpstart. So a lot of talking, a lot of stuff that we need to get through. We've had a lot of questions out there about the availability of the training and where we can get it from and everything. So we'll make sure all of those are posted afterwards so you can get access to this training. We're working with through the partner channels to provide training to partners, and then through their channels to be able to get training to the customers, whether they're in an enterprise or even small, medium business. So this section here, without further ado, let's show where we are in the day. And you can see we've covered this morning pretty much the big picture, architecture, the configuration of the Windows Azure AD, so that gave us directory synchronization and ADFS for our single sign-on solution. That's quite a mouthful, straight out of lunch. Single sign-on solution.
Just say SSO.
There you go. It's quicker and easier.
Yes.
So the admin roles, users and groups, and then finished up the end of the morning with a quick rundown of the policies that are available to the cloud-only configuration. And we'll go into some more with the unified in the coming up slides. So in this next section that I'm going to run through, still cloud-only focused. So in this, we'll talk about the deployment mechanisms for the PC platform. A lot of different ways that you can get the agents enrolled and running on your machine. So I want to run through some of those for you. And then focusing on the prerequisites for the MDM piece. So that's a common section. There are certain things that you'll need to have access to be able to light up the management capabilities for certain platforms. So I want to call those out and highlight them to you. So that's exactly the kind of thing that you can make sure you have in place before you engage with your customers or your your own organization to turn on the Windows Intune features. So this will take us for the next hour. Then we'll take a quick 10-minute break before we come back and then carry on with the software deployment piece and then into the unified configuration and the capabilities of that piece.
Lots of questions on certificates and mobile devices and all that. And just hold up. It's coming, all right? We're getting there.
Yep. There's a whole section on that as part of the second part of this presentation touches on a lot of that because those certificates and the requirements are all around the prerequisites for enabling the MDM platform. Okay, so let's go down to the deck and kick off with the PC setup piece here. So this next section really talks about the enrollment process of getting your PCs into the Windows Intune cloud-only service. Okay, so enrollment options. Now, in order to address this, what I've done is I've taken the steps into two basic groups. We have this standard client deployment method and an alternative deployment method. And the difference between these two is for standard deployment, your end users will need administrative rights on the device to complete the enrollment. Whereas alternative methods, you don't need that. You can pre-program this and set it up for your administrators to have the enrollment in place without the need for the end users to do that. So let me show you what I mean. So just to highlight here, really, the platform I'm talking about in this first section is enabling the PC client. So that's everything from Windows XP, SP2 upwards, SP3 now, I think, upwards, right the way through the stack to Windows 8 is supported by the Windows Intune platform. So we'll be enrolling the agents for this. And then in the next chapter, we'll talk about the prerequisites and the process of getting these devices lit up in your environment and managed. Okay, so the deployment options that we have available to us. Under the standard deployment mechanism, we have direct download. So this is through the admin console or from the end user company portal. You can download the application package itself. It comes in the form of a zip file with an .exe and a cert on it. You can run the .exe on the machine. You need to have local admin rights to do that. But that will then enroll the machine once the executable is run. The network share and flash drives, the old sneaker net approach effectively. So with these, we just copy those downloaded binaries. As I say, there's the two files that we're going to deal with there. And you can just carry them to the device. The self-service portal option for an end user is a little bit simpler for them. You can just send them to that portal, and then there's a process they can go through to enroll that PC there and then at that portal. And they authenticate with the service, which means that we don't need to manage the certificate for them at that point. The certificate comes as part of this package, but when you're logging on through the admin through the company portal, we know who you are and who you're associated with by the fact that you've accredited to our service with credentials that are assigned to an account. So at that point, we only need to run the executable for the enrollment process, and the certificate is automatically assigned as part of that enrollment process. So it makes the management of that a little bit easier. So the second part of this, though, is the alternative deployment methods. And this is where we want to try and have a mechanism in place that doesn't require local admin rights. So the user who is actually executing this doesn't need to be an administrator to complete the enrollment. And here we've got a couple of options. So one of them is through script execution or through pushing the agents themselves to the device via some kind of software deployment mechanism, such as group policy through AD. So this is, I'll show you how you extract the necessary files to be able to push maybe an MSI or something through another package deployment mechanism. And then as soon as we get those bits on the PC, at that point the machine can enroll and then go through the process of being managed by Intune. Alternatively, there we can also go through a process of enrolling a device and making it self-enroll, if you like, at the end of an image-based deployment process. So we refer to that as this offline installation mode. And I will spend a little bit of time running into how that process works. We've got online some guidance on that. It's a little bit confusing, especially if you're not very familiar with offline deployment processes. So hopefully, if I run through it here with a little bit more detail, then it'll make it clearer for you. Okay, so let's have a look at these first set of deployment mechanisms. So this is our standard deployment mechanism for PCs. Very straightforward then. Download this package. In this package, there is this executable, and there is a certificate. Now, these guys need to stay together. So you'll extract those, keep them in the same folder, and make sure that they are run as is. Don't rename anything in here. It can cause problems. We do look for this certificate name during the enrollment. So just take these packages as is. If you're a partner and you're managing multiple accounts, you'll want to make sure that these stay separated for your customers. This certificate is unique to each account. So that's how we identify which machine is going to be enrolled into which Windows Intune service. So you definitely want to manage these carefully and keep them isolated for all your users. So during the enrollment process, you can manually kick this off or kick it off through some automation process. Just run the exe, and it will prompt through a wizard and walk the user through that installation routine. So I get this package from the Intune admin console. So earlier, I highlighted the navigation bar over on the left-hand side here. So when you come into the Windows Intune service, it's the administration workspace that you want. And then from there, you select the client download here. And that will get you access to the package that you want to gain access, that you download. This package is about 14 megabytes in size. It comes down in a zip format, so you can extract these files yourself. And once you've got that as an executable, there are some of these command line options for you. So I'll show you exactly what they're used for in a moment. But the quiet switch will kick off a silent install. Extract allows you to pull out some MSI files that I'll show you in a second. And then prepare and roll is the switch that we use to enable this offline installation mechanism that we'll walk through. But before we get to that, I just want to give you a high-level view of exactly what's going on during enrollment. The package that you're downloading here is effectively the start of the process. We're a cloud-based service, which means we can update the clients, the agents, the components of the service at any time, and the service will just pick those updates up as part of the standard client update process. So what actually happens is that package that you kick off and run will start the enrollment, and it goes through the process with that certificate of identifying the account that you're enrolled into. But during that enrollment process, the agents are installed on the device, and there are a number of agents that the Windows Intune service uses to provide everything from the update management process to endpoint protection to software deployment to monitoring. All of those components will work together to form what is the Windows Intune service. Well, those are updated and downloaded on the fly. So internet connectivity is needed for this component. And depending on what changes we've made to the service or agent updates have occurred, there may be more or less of these uploads that are identified, these downloads that are identified and installed. So you start the running of it. It connects to the service, determines that it's a valid user and account, and then it checks to see if these agents are updates are required. So, for example, our endpoint protection agents are downloaded at this point, as well as the very latest endpoint protection signature files to make sure that we've got the best protection that you can expect right there and then for that device. But that means we need internet connectivity at this point, and there will be a download associated with it. So, for example, if go back a year when we launched, I think it was second update at MMS last year, we had a lab environment set up where we had some 600-700 machines that were there for doing the hands-on labs during the MMS environment. Well, I was working with the guys there to do that deployment automatically. Well, we needed to make sure that we staged it in such a way that we didn't flood any internet connectivity while we're trying to roll out that enrollment. Worked extremely well, and just by carefully controlling banks of computers that were going through the install, we had a great experience and got it up and running in under half a day for 700 computers. So at the end of that process, the final step is very likely to be a computer restart. Wherever possible, we try to avoid this, but where we're making changes to policy, to endpoint protection, and to the update mechanism that the device it uses itself, it's very likely that a reboot will be required, and the user will be prompted for that. So worthwhile planning for that and make sure that the reboot can actually occur to allow everything to install. End-to-end, the entire process from kicking it off to reporting all of its data up to the cloud is usually completed well within 30 minutes. But you should plan for that window. Some of the agents take a little bit longer to kick in and do their install. And we're not very aggressive about that. We would rather be nice players on the internet and the network connectivity than force a lot of updates all in one go. So you should plan for around 30 minutes to let the thing stabilize, let replication, everything happen up to the cloud so that you can work with it from that point. So that's the standard install process that occurs. Now, if we go and have a look at the self-service process, this is the experience that the user will go through if they wanted to just browse to your company portal, authenticate to it. They're not going to get into this portal unless they have valid credentials that you provided them. So they go to portal.manage.microsoft.com. And then from there, through the All Devices option here, they have the ability to add a computer there and then. So here, when I've clicked on that, I've got an option now to add a computer, and I can download the software. Now, at this point, I'm only going to download the executable. That certificate, as I said, isn't required in the package. So it will run automatically from an internet download. Bear in mind, they still need to be administrators for this process, though, because we're making changes to services and installing endpoint protection and all that kind of stuff. They therefore need to be a local administrator for this to function for them. But very straightforward process. It will run through the wizard. Once the install kicks off, the download still has to happen to update all their agents. So you must expect that to occur as part of this process as well.
So I just want to comment on the whole self-service enrollment thing. I think that at least for a lot of IT pros, this is a little bit of I'm not sure, because I'm kind of letting them enroll in things. And I really think this is part of that whole trend in the way of the future, right? I mean, people have devices that they may be personal and they may not. You just provide the infrastructure to allow them to enroll themselves. And you have a system to manage all those different machines. Here at Microsoft IT, and in the way we've been doing things at Microsoft for a long time is that way. In fact, we can domain join our own machines. And, you know, there's effectively a self-enrollment process that happens there with that. And Intune's really making it a lot easier to kind of stay ahead of things with that that enrollment process.
Yes, yeah, it's a good point. And I mean, we often talk about this paradigm shift as being, rather than control, we're now in the realms of governance. We're setting policies, we're setting rules in place that determine if you want to be able to enroll this device, you will play by these rules. And that's the goal of this. The enrollment process here, one of the key things that it will do is communicate to our policy agents and ensure that it downloads the policies that are required for that PC to do the enrollment. So if it can't comply to that, or they don't agree with that, then the enrollment won't happen. So it's important that you understand that. You're setting policies in place, and you can put some controls and constraints around it. But we're licensing the users, and we're hoping to enable this BYOD scenario where they can use their own devices under the governance of your control. Okay, so that takes you through the typical installation routine. So standard installs, whether they're kicked off by an administrator, downloaded and installed by a user, or whether they are pulled down through this company portal, wherever the user may be. Because that's a key thing to get across here. This download here is coming across the internet. So the device doesn't have to be on corporate network for this to occur. It's not talking back to a domain controller. It's not having to communicate with a management server other than our service in the cloud. So they could be doing this enrollment at home. They could be doing it at a branch office, as long as they've got internet connectivity to run the agent. So now let's switch over to the alternative installation methods and spend a little bit of time looking at what's possible here. Now, a lot of the alternative installation methods are happier working with MSI files. So I want to point out that you download this package as a zip. When you click on that zip and extract the files, you'll get this executable and this certificate that will appear. Then using this extract switch, you can also pull out MSIs. Now, at this level, when you're in the executable level, it doesn't matter whether it's X64 or X32. It will figure it out during the installation routine. However, once you're in MSI mode, you do need to make sure that you are deploying the correct MSI for whatever hardware platform you're supporting. So you'll need X64 or X86 MSIs, and you'll still need the certificate. You can't get away from requiring that certificate. If you're automating this install, it's this certificate that ties the identity of the machine to the account that you want it to subscribe into. So it's important that you keep those two together.
And that you protect that certificate somewhat, at least, because once a computer enrolls, right, that's attached to some form of license, and you want to make sure you cover your bases and allow people to not just get that and enroll. Now, keep in mind that I don't know how many people would really want to do that because they're self-selecting to be managed. So, but just still something to think about, right?
Yeah, I don't suppose there's many people that would actively go out and try and find how they could manage their PC and just sort of randomly pick up, I want you to manage me. Yeah, that would be kind of interesting
stuff. Let me go hack it and find that cert so I can be managed, right?
That's right, yeah. I want to be managed. I haven't got enough policies in my life. I need to be managed to get more policies.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the kind of end users we need.
That's right.
I think there's many out there.
Yeah.
All right, so once you've got the MSIs extracted, then really it's up to you how you want to deploy those MSIs. If you do have AD in place and you are managing on-prem, then you can use the group policy component of AD to push those MSIs out there to the client PCs. And at the point that they run that MSI and go through the install, then the service will recognize and roll the device, and then you can manage them. So we've had some customers who even use System Center. So System Center has the capability of managing PCs that it isn't enrolled with, so they're not a managed PC as such. So you could use System Center as a mechanism to push this package, on the understanding that you don't want to manage that PC with System Center, because when you run this MSI, you're switching its management to Windows Intune and through the cloud. So you can use System Center as effectively a software deployment mechanism, but as a management mechanism, you want to make that selection either between managing the PC through System Center, in which case it's our unified configuration, and you'll run the System Center management agents, or through the cloud, in which case you'll run this MSI or EXE for managing through Windows Intune cloud only.
And I know we had one of the questions on back and forth. Can you go one way, go the other? How does that work? If you said, oops, I set the authority, oh, I mean, is that...
Right. So at the moment, that's not something that we recommend. Technically, it can be done. So as far as the PC platform is concerned, you can remove one set of agents and then install the System Center agents. It'll appear in the System Center system. And then you can remove those agents and then go back the other way if you so wish. Painful, not recommended. Certainly not the method that we want to keep. So for now, you make that decision which system you want to do the management. It used to be a little more painful because you couldn't do the MDM management at all with System Center until this release of Windows Intune, where you can add the connector. But now it's for PCs, one or the other. And if you install the agents here, then those PCs will report to the cloud console, not the unified console. It is our stated goal that we want to bring all of that lot together so that you can choose whichever agents are on where, which console you want to manage them in, and that's what we're working towards. So watch out for that in some future releases. But right now, it's important to understand the difference between these two agents. So that takes you through the MSI packages and deploying those through whatever your preferred software deployment mechanism is. So this next step here is focusing on the offline Windows Intune client installation process. So as I said, we do have guidance online here, and I'd like to point out to pretty much everyone, if you're using the cloud service, do click on the help link in the admin console and check out the online help guidance. The whole premise of the cloud-based service is that it's documented in the cloud as well. So the online help guidance is specifically geared to provide step-by-step, very scenario-focused guidance on how to do certain tasks. This is an example of it. If you go through the online help and look at deployment of the computer client software, there's a section in that specifically addresses the offline Windows Intune client installation process. So I'll talk you through this so that you know the steps to go through, but do check out the online help and look at more details here. There is a sample code for scriptlets, et cetera, or script entries that you can put in to achieve these steps. So do check that out. So the very first step, if you've ever done any kind of client installation process where you're trying to create a deployment image, what you have is you have a reference computer. This is the computer that you're setting up with an OS that will allow you to have basically your gold image, the image that you want to use to base your deployments on. So the first important step to enroll that into Windows Intune is to make the package for the accounts that you want to enroll this device into, or these imaged devices into, is to copy the exe and the account cert to the reference computer. Step number one. Step number two is you want to create a script that will automatically run at the point that the mini setup runs on the target computer. So at this point, you're getting the files ready on the reference computer. You're not actually executing the Windows Intune installation routine. And that's very important. We did get some customers get confused around this process, because remember what I said about the setup is enrolling live with the service. And it's one of the challenges, in fact, with doing demos and simulations that we have to rely on. When you're working with a cloud service, it's a live connection. There's no way to virtualize it. The data center is where it is, and we have to interoperate with it. So if you run that against the reference computer, you're creating a one-to-one relationship and a certificate for management of that device. If you then clone that image and deploy it to all of your PCs, they take that certificate with them. And at that point, you're in quite an unpleasant situation where you've got identically named machines all appearing through the Windows Intune console, because Intune thinks it's being talked to by the same machine 20 times, 100 times, 500 times. We will manage that. We just surface it up to the top to say, well, we've got two machines here with the same name and the same certificate. Okay, well, we'll manage them both. But it makes it very difficult from your perspective to identify which one's real and which one's not. And in fact, we were doing a mass rollout for a customer at one site where they made a mistake like that in their script. And they were supposed to be doing a Mac level renaming of the device. So their target image would tack on a Mac suffix so they could identify the individual machines. That script didn't work when they rolled it out. And it was only when it started appearing in Windows Intune that we looked at it and went, well, hang on a minute, how come we've got 400 PCs with the same name here? It wasn't showing up in System Center because it was seeing the same machine rejoining. And it was basically kicking out the old one and adding in a new one, kicking out an old one, adding in a new one. Well, within Tune, we had the certificate, so we can identify these multiple machines, even with the same names. It doesn't make any difference to us. It's a certificate that we care about. So we would be able to, we captured that. We got them to stop their deployment. Whoa, guys, you've got a scripting problem you need to go look at. And they could get the script updated to make it work. So here, we are not executing this, this setup.exe file at this point. So what you're actually going to do, copy the files into a temporary folder on the machine, and then create this setup-complete.cmd file. Now, you place that in this scripts folder below the window directory. And the reason for that is during the reboot on the target machine, we have a situation where the mini setup, the Windows mini setup, will go look in that folder for this script. And if it finds it, it will run. So what we want to have in here is a very simple command line, and there's some more details I'll show you in a second. There's a link that you can get to get this command line to cut and paste straight out of our online help. It'll run that script, and it'll basically put in place a reg key entry. And in fact, you've got a choice of how to do this. At its simplest level, all this script is going to do is put a registry key in for you. That's it. And then the Windows Intune system will look for that key to determine whether or not it needs to try and enroll. So if that's all that's in the script, the next step at this prepare level is you then run the Windows Intune setup.exe with that prepare enroll option. If you run that, what's now happened is we've put into the reference computer a task, a scheduled task, to kick off the enrollment automatically using the system administrator credentials. So we don't need the user to interact at all for this process. But what's happening now is there is effectively a task that's going to try and enroll the device. Now, we're still on the reference computer here, so we don't want that task to run. That's why this script adds in the second piece, and the second piece is this registry key. So if you are continuing to customize this reference computer and you're installing other software and other configurations, there is a slim chance that you take long enough doing that that this task, this scheduled task that we've just put in place, will now run. So we want to make sure that it doesn't enroll. So that's why this registry key is not put in place until the setup-complete.cmd file is run. And that's only run once the machine has been sys-prepped, sealed, transferred over to the target computer, and then executed. So if I switch focus now over to the target computer, what you've got now is the restart. So this is, you know, you've deployed the image onto the machine. It's now in its mini setup state. Shut the PC down, ship it to wherever it needs to go. The recipient opens the computer up, starts it. So on first start, the mini setup's going to execute. It'll go through the personalization stage, creating a GUID, everything that the mini setup needs to do. It then sees that there's this setup-complete.cmd file, and it executes it. At that point, the registry key that we need to tell Windows Intune it should enroll is put in. So that's this enroll pending state. Then it's up to the user to do what they want to do. So they're going to carry on logging in, personalizing, setting the machine up. During that process, we hope they will go through the setup of configuring their internet connectivity, Wi-Fi connection, wired connection, however it may be. But what's going to happen at the end of a certain period of time, within an hour typically, the scheduled task will run and it will try and connect. If it fails, it goes back to sleep again and it will just keep checking every hour for up to a month. So you've got plenty of time for them to get a valid internet connection. At the point that it does get a valid internet connection, it's going to run our exe, it's going to use the local admin privileges, so the user has nothing here that they need to interact with. But what will happen is you'll see on your console up in the web, the device will suddenly appear, and you now have a managed PC with a deployed package. More details here, I've created a short link on here. Feel free to click on that, and that will take you directly to your online help. and we'll give you some additional guidance there, including being able to copy and paste the scripts that you need to set those XEs up. Okay, so a couple of other tasks here that I want to run you through. Retiring the client. Some of the questions that we get around retirement. The users can retire their own devices. So again, through the company portal, there is an option for them to retire this device. An administrator can also retire a device at any time. They can select it through the admin console, and then through this UI here, we can retire the device manually here. PCs, there's no wipe option. We're just literally removing our agents and breaking that connection. It is something that we're looking at for a future release, though. One thing to note here, if you have a device that has been rebuilt, stolen, lost, smashed, whatever has happened to it, if you click the retire button here, it may take up to 30 days for the device to be removed. We basically put it into a kind of tombstone state where we're waiting to hear from the device. So if it does come back online, we can guarantee that we've got rid of it before we flush it completely. So it can take up to 30 days, and the device will just have a little notification against it saying that it's in the process of retiring the entry for it in our database. So do be aware of that delay. So just very quickly, some troubleshooting steps. Well, step number one, if the installation doesn't go through completely or if there's a failure with any of our agents, then the console will report it to you. So that's definitely the first place to go if you're not seeing the computers that you were expecting to see if there's any issues. Second step. If you're not getting the device to appear in the console, quite often the issue is network connectivity. So take a look at firewall configuration, proxy configurations, the network configuration on the device itself to determine whether it's having problems accessing our site. And a quick and simple test for that is to get the users to try logging onto the company portal. If they can get to that website and log on with valid credentials, then that part's working. You know, they're not logging on with the wrong URL or they don't have internet connectivity. Finally, if the worst comes to the worst and you're still getting nowhere, there are enrollment logs here. If you go to the Microsoft Online Management Logs enrollment.log, that tracks the entire enrollment process that we wanted to run, as well as the Windows Update log, which is the process for getting the other agents to come down onto the device. So you may well copy those log files and then open up through this link here an online request for support, provide those log files, and they can walk you through the process to let you know what's going on and why the client install isn't working. So, some best practices here. As I mentioned, don't rename those files. Next, keep the installation files secure so that some drive-by I want to be managed hacker doesn't walk off with your cert. Just keep it in a secure location. And that's it. So, in a nutshell, We've run through the process of getting our machines enrolled. We now have PCs enrolled into the service.
One comment that I want to address we had that is one I don't think we covered. It relates to bandwidth. So somebody says, hey, if I've got a large, all of 100 clients that all have 100 megs of updates at the same time, how do I deal with that? One of the new things in the Windows Intune service is the peer-to-peer caching. So that would help out a lot. And then there's, of course, policies that you can configure for Windows Update so that those updates occur on off hours. Obviously, you'd want to plan well with that beforehand because you could get yourself into trouble where your internet bandwidth goes down, you know, quite a bit during the day if you have everybody updating all at once, right?
Right, right. And don't forget that policy in the agent settings that I was talking about this morning for bits bandwidth throttling as well. So you can put that policy in place, and we'll inherit that policy straight out of the gate. So when the device enrolls, they'll pick that policy up, and they'll bandwidth throttle that download. It'll take longer for the device to enroll because we're having to minimize our bandwidth impact, but it will help for bandwidth throttling scenarios.